Trek, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into training camp with the Ravens and the Lamar contract thing, fake football. Luke's out in Owings Mills. He'll be there all week as the Ravens get ready for Arizona and some more fake football. But, you know, this is a time of the year where, like, writers drop stories and real writers been saving up stuff. I'm saving up a little something for September myself you'll want to check out. And weird stories, off-season stories. And obviously the Ravens have had real tragedy in this off-season with the drug overdose of one of their players. They have contract issues, all this off-the-field stuff. But nothing more fascinating than, look, man, I'm from Dundalk, right? People smoked weed. We talk cannabis here, alcohol, I mean, all sorts of things, selling beer, drinking beer. I'm doing 31 breweries in 31 days this month. So I like to open my mind to discuss things. But on two different occasions this year, quarterbacks, the National Football League, and mushrooms have come up. I was at the Super Bowl in L.A. Imagine that. And Jake Plummer, you know, Jake the Snake, all cool and wavy gravy, sat down and did a 30-minute dissertation with me on the power of, I don't even know how to pronounce it, ayahuasca, but shrooms, as we used to call them back in the neighborhood. Julie Kligman wrote a piece last week at Sports Illustrated. And she's one of my favorite people, the editors, to clean up the mess of sloppy Oscar Madisons like myself. But she is out on the front of mental health and writing about mental health and into all of this good stuff. She hails from the great state of New Jersey, where we all fought for Bruce Springsteen tickets here recently, some more successful than others, and is a Northwestern person. She knows good pizza. She may have been to Pequod's on the north side. I'm not sure. But we're going to welcome her in, not as an expert in all things shrooms, because first question is, you know, have you used recently and what's your experience been? But it is a pleasure to have you on. And obviously the Aaron Rodgers thing has taken Sports Illustrated folks like yourself and said, all right, we're going to, you know, we're going to have to write a little bit about this so Nestor's audience understands it back in Baltimore.
Thank you so much for having me. To answer your first question, I have not done shrooms. I have not used psychedelics. So kind of opening up this whole world was really foreign to me. I spent months reporting on it. And then, yeah, Aaron Rodgers sort of comes in and drops this bomb about ayahuasca and also psilocybin, which is mushrooms. And yeah, here we are. So it just so happened to line up with when I was getting ready to publish this article anyway. And here he goes doing this 2.5-hour podcast.
Okay, so give me your genesis on this, because listen, I remember when, I believe it was Kyle Turley came by maybe 10 years ago, started talking about openly smoking weed and helping him and getting him to not be a maniac on the football field. And then Denver happens and then Washington happens. You know, now everybody I know has got a card here in Maryland. We're getting real close to, so things that were taboo. I mean, listen, Julie, I'm doing 31 breweries in 31 days this month to celebrate my 31 years in crab cakes. Crab cakes are normal. Couldn't do 31 breweries here 31 years ago because breweries weren't legal, right? So like all of the drugs and where we are with what is a drug and what is an aid. And Jake Plummer came by and I had an episode, you know, over the last 5 years where a friend of mine was telling me about his journey with mushrooms, psilocybin. You're going to have to educate me on the ayahuasca and even the pronunciation on some of this stuff and where it is. But for me, it was Jake Plummer 6 months ago. And then the Aaron Rodgers thing, right, happens. And that was where I sort of, you know, went into my first conversation with a dude who played football that I'm familiar with during his career. I was at his locker at one point. I remember talking to him after a game many, many years ago. And he's telling me about this thing. And now Aaron Rodgers is out in front of it on the biggest podcast that there is and all that. But you were already down a pathway to writing about sports and this particular side of, you call it a drug, right? We're calling it that, or a plant? What are we going to call it?
We can call it a drug. I mean, okay. Or medicine. Yeah. If you really want to, a plant, it is a plant. But yeah.
Well, so where were you on all of this? I mean, Jake Plummer brought it to me. I had a friend say something to me about it a couple of years ago, but it's not, you know, I guess we're a product of whatever we surf on the internet, right? I mean, I guess sure. We are. Ask Zuckerberg, right? But yeah. It doesn't come to me that much. But the Aaron Rodgers thing happened, and that's when I reached to you, because I knew from the minute I got into this and did a little research on you, I'm like, hey, man, this chick's start studying this stuff here. Where did it come to you for sports and for a project, really, for Sports Illustrated and the work that you do?
Yeah, so I've been working on a book about mental health in sports. And actually, a few months ago, Daniel Carcillo's team reached out. He's the former NHL enforcer. And he has this whole company going relating to psilocybin. And, you know, he says that psilocybin is what helped him after traumatic brain injury and suicidal thoughts. So he was kind of like my entry point. And I didn't know it. Like I said, I didn't know hardly anything about this. But
you're just a sports editor, right? Like literally. Right. But you do a lot with mental health, though, right? That's a space that you dive into as a writer more than an editor, mm-hmm. right? Fair?
Exactly. Yep.
You know, is that personal as well in regard to like that? That's a really cool space to be in this place, right? Where athletes have Twitter and they are much more. I mean, Jake Plummer talking about shrooms. That's one thing to have a washed up guy saying I got hit in the head and I want to take care of my body. Different thing for Aaron Rodgers to say, I'm studying up on this so I can go win another Super Bowl this year. Right.
That's right.
There's a different place there between recreational and, you know, what I saw was steroids here 25 years ago that you guys did a pretty good job of reporting about, as I remember Tom Verducci. Right. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a totally new level of like accessibility to have like this back-to-back MVP, very famous quarterback talking about his ayahuasca use. I mean, that's the highest profile stage that psychedelics have been on in elite sports. And you're right that most of the people talking about it are former athletes, like Plummer, like Daniel Carcillo. But yeah, now here you have this current athlete. And you also have the NFL saying, hey, we're not going to do anything about it. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the NBA started walking the other way on cannabis before anybody. If you ever went to an All-Star game, I think you'd realize that right around the time it got to Vegas and Bill Simmons started writing about it, amongst others. But I would just say where it's helpful, right, where cannabis is helpful. Or a glass of wine in the old days, or a little rub of the whiskey on the teething child, or, you know, wherever it's cocaine 100 years ago in bottles or whatever it is, the mental health part of this for you struck you as, is this helping their game? I did my my college thesis. I don't talk about this much. I don't talk to people smart like you from Northwestern too often. I did my college thesis on hypnosis in athletes. And I found this kid at San Diego State. I'm talking, my thesis was 1991. So this kid played, he was like a fifth round draft pick out of San Diego State. And he swore by hypnosis and that he swore that it helped his game. There's a couple tennis players involved that were involved in it at the time. And I don't, you know, this is going back to when Martina Navratilova was talking about eating better and writing books about eating better as an athlete. And I the mental health side of where Tony Robbins came into my life 30 years ago and where I'm on the air talking to all sorts of people in all sorts of spaces, where it's helpful and where it's a steroid for Barry Bonds to hit home runs, right? And then there's the getting on the field and sleeping. I mean, Harbaugh has all of this stuff about time and diet and things that he's following for the Ravens as an organization that he's been open-minded to people coming in and thinking differently. Now, when Aaron Rodgers comes into this, where are you in writing about it and where Aaron Rodgers starts openly talking about it as an active player? Because that is we're in a different world here in talking about how these drugs could be helping some players.
Yeah. So I already had a draft into my story when Aaron came out about this. And so this was kind of like a gift for me as a writer, I would say. Here you go. Here's this evergreen story that all of a sudden has a news peg that has really gotten people talking. And like I said, like the platform that he has and the platform that he's given psychedelics is just unmatched.
Julie Klingman is our guest. She is with Sports Illustrated as an editor, but as a writer in this particular case. If you want to Google the piece, and I can pull it up, and I've already shared it. The headline on this, what do athletes get from ayahuasca, mushrooms, and ecstasy? Aaron Rodgers and Kenny Stills are among the few who have spoken publicly about their use of psychedelics for mental health purposes, but a future where treatment is more widespread across sports may not be so far away. Julie, I don't know how many drugs what's currently, I haven't been in a football locker room in 2.5 years, and Chad Steele's probably going to see the fact that I'm never going to be in one again. But I've been in locker rooms my whole life since I was 15 years old. I was a reporter for AHL hockey teams. I covered hockey, covered high school athletes all of these years, and mental toughness. And I had David Marinus on this week writing a book about Lombardi, right? So, you know, you got to be tougher. You got to be mentally tough. You know, girls, booze, late nights, music, on the road. I was a reporter, baseball, football, seen it all, right? Seen it all. Could write about it. Could do my own little unwritten rules and things that happen. But every athlete wants an edge. Every athlete wants to win. They all want to make more money. They're all working hard, allegedly. And when they don't, it's very obvious. Somebody comes, takes their job, right? Like, literally. Sure. The mental health part of this would be that if you went to your baseball manager or football coach at any point in the history of history, before recent history, and said, my marriage, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with my parenting. I'm struggling. I have a father that's dying, a mother that's dying. Toughen up. Get your ass in the huddle, right? Like that. You know, we weren't giving athletes water 25 years ago, like running around 100 good days. So like, let's cut through all of this macho bullshit. Right. But there is the mental health part that is now on the table all the way around, whether it's taking a prescription drug to have happy, shiny, happy days or whatever. And everything that's going on with Brett Favre. And by the way, first time I met Brett Favre, he was high as a kite, right? Like it was during that period of time after he won the Super Bowl that he talks to me. He doesn't remember. But I mean, what drugs have been prescribed, opioids specifically, for athletes in the modern era? I went back and watched North Dallas 40. It's one of my favorite movies from back in the day. Nick Nolte and Mac Davis sitting in hot tubs and smoking weed and popping pills and whatnot, having access to the drugstore. In the football recreation department, we're in a different world now, right? I mean, and what you're reporting on for mental health specifically, they're like all of us. They have problems, and more money, more problems, right?
Yeah, and this is why it's become such a consistent beat of mine at Sports Illustrated, is because athletes in the last few years are finally coming forward, and they're finally, as you suggested, you know, kind of being met with more acceptance. In some cases, by their coaches, by fans, by their teammates. So it really is kind of like a revolution, and psychedelics is just one very small part of it.
What was your gateway on this with ayahuasca and psilocybin and their differences? Because I'm not a doctor, but you can play one on the radio right now or on my podcast. But what is what Aaron Rodgers doing that's different than what Jake Plummer was telling me about?
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers has talked about using psilocybin once, but primarily he's been talking about using ayahuasca in Peru. Ayahuasca has DMT in it. It's like a drink that has DMT in it. And he has been talking about that and how it's like increased his self-love, he keeps saying. And that's not really one of the psychedelics that is being studied and is like the farthest along for like in terms of like being treated for, you know, athletes and the general population in a clinical setting. So while he's talking about mental health reasons, he hasn't actually done this in a clinical setting like someone like Kenny Stills, for example, has. So the drugs that are being most studied right now in the psychedelic realm, I would say, are psilocybin, which is mushrooms, and MDMA, which is ecstasy.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen that at work at various points, not myself as well, enough to scare the hell out of me to say, I ain't taking any of that. Right. Yeah. So there's a little bit of this that's recreational, but this is now getting to the point with dosage. Right. And with proper care and oversight and guardrails, right, that you would want to put in if you're, I mean, man, all my life is tripping on shrooms, right? Tripping, right? I mean, there's a whole lingo, even though I've never done it and you've never done it, that there is something about it that is the other side. Or we've seen it portrayed in movies or whatever it would be. But to be helpful on a focus level for athletes that need to focus, and that would be something that we've seen with Adderall, with baseball players, right? Like that when they don't report that they've taken it, they get banned. Chris Davis, that happened here, right? Like, to be a fan and to understand what is and isn't, and now everybody's smoking weed, no problem with that. We used to put, you know, Josh Gordon away for that like about 5 minutes ago, right? Now, now we allow sexual assault, but, you know, cocaine's not cool anymore, right? But, you know, that all that the 70s and the 80s and all of that, that was thought to be loosen up, recreational. This is different. This is thought to be, how can I be a better football player? How can I be a better tennis player? That it, sure, muscle and diet and all of these other things that have been studied, this is a different mental acuity side that some Tom House of pitching is going to go into in a different way that's than physical, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about being a better athlete. It's also about being, you know, a better, healthier person. You know, just like everyone else, athletes have mental health. They have the ability to have poor mental health. They have the ability to get depressed or be anxious before, say, if you're a pitcher, they, you know, they might be anxious before a start, things like that. And so it really is just about, you know, how can we treat this depression? How can we treat this anxiety? How can we treat this PTSD potentially even in a new way? Because therapy and traditional psychiatric medication, they work really well for a lot of people, but they also don't work well for other people, and they're still stigmatized as well. So there are some athletes, I would guess, who would be more open to trying a psychedelic than they would an antidepressant, for example.
Well, I would also say in a world that you and I cover in sports, and by the way, Julie Kliegman is our guest. She is an editor at Sports Illustrated, SI.com. You can find her there. You can find her piece on what do athletes get from ayahuasca, mushrooms, and ecstasy out at SI.com. The notion that they're to get help here, to ask for help is now okay. And that there's a whole wing at SI that you're opening up to talk about this, to say, what are we doing to treat mental health? And we've had a lot of athletes in the last 3-4 years across all spectrums of sports, both genders, professional and college, and that this is something that is going to become a specialty and a reach for keeping athletes sane in a very, very unsane world, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as experts have put it to me, like, psychedelics is just one more potential tool in the toolbox in terms of keeping athletes mentally on their game. It's not like this miracle drug or set of miracle drugs that's going to cure everyone. And a lot of people might not even want to try it. It can sound really scary, but for some people it might work, and that's important to consider. And it's important for leagues themselves to consider as well.
Hey, I appreciate anybody who's a great editor and doing all the work. I know Peter King gave some love to his editors on the way out, you know, a week or two ago. And I've always had editors and my favorite people. I still take them out and drink beer with them from the time I was 15 or 16 when I was a kid and they edited my copy. So big appreciation. The unsung heroes. Did I do that the right way, Joel?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I before I let you go, talk about editing a little bit and sports journalism and what you guys do at SI, because so much has changed over the course of time. One of the great nights of my life, my professional life for sure, was back in 1999. Sports Illustrated had its 50th year anniversary or celebration, or maybe 40 or 50, whatever. It might have been 40 at the time, but it was at Madison Square Garden, and everybody who was anybody was there. And I stowed away Martina Navratilova on my show, Carl Lewis. Oh, my God. I could go through Roger Bannister, Roger Clemens. I mean, all these guests this one night at the Garden. But it was a Sports Illustrated thing. I'm an SI kid. You know, I'm a Don Banks, the late, great Don Banks and Peter King. I found a picture of Dr. Z and I doing radio together. It was a dry wit, 1998, 1999 together. So I have a long history. What is SI now? And certainly for your role as an editing, such an important thing to be putting truth on the internet. Very, very important. Fact checking.
Yes. Well, SI still employs fact checkers, so that's the good news. SI, in a lot of ways, hasn't, you know, it's been through a lot. It's been through the advent of the internet and all that, and, you know, the collapse to an extent of print. So it's survived a lot. We're tough. We're a monthly now, and we still edit very rigorously. And I pride myself on that as a copy chief. And in some ways, you know, it's the same old SI. Like, we really care a lot about telling good stories, telling, you know, the on-field stories, but also telling the offbeat stories. And that's kind of where I see myself coming in. But as, you know, as copy chief, like, I like to think I play a small part along with, you know, our entire roster of editors, fact checkers, designers, everyone, in like making sure SI, you know, holds up to the standard that you and so many others remember.
I love that you're a chief. I'm sorry, man. I had Max Weiss on this week from Baltimore Magazine. I did not win best of this, and I pointed that out to her a few times. But I'm actually going to her party this week. She's the editor in chief. So any, you know, commander in chief, I want a chief. So copy chief. I didn't even get that right. I got to do the whole segment over again. We'll start at the beginning. Julie Kligman's here. She's the copy chief. Now I got to say that. SportsIllustratedSI.com. You can find her out on the web. It's certainly her story on ayahuasca, mushrooms, psilocybin, and ecstasy. All my favorites, all the greatest hits, and how they relate to sports and mental health. Thanks for being a good sport and a good guest. And is this the point where I say we hate you at Northwestern because we're in the Big Ten? Everybody's in the Big Ten now. Maryland's right, like, I don't know right, how we're exactly. ever going to have any rivalries anymore. I mean, once we bury Duke and Carolina around here, it was a mess. But shout out to Northwestern, to Dr. David Sigmund, and all of my Northwestern Wildcat buddies. Go eat some good pizza, all right?
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Julie Kligman, great guest. Go read her piece and, you know, studying up on mental health. I like talking about all this stuff. And I'll probably reshare my Jake Plummer conversation about shrooms because I think I sat there in L.A. and I'm like, dude, tell me about this. So I started with that. A little Cheech and Chong for you there. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.